Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. You might be used to joining me on Tuesdays for new episodes of the podcast, and today is a special bonus episode in partnership with Trifera, and I'm excited to bring you another special bonus episode on a Sunday, or whatever day you happen to be catching up on this episode. Before we jump in, a quick and important reminder. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you listen today, and it will take you to all of the resources I mentioned. This episode is sponsored by Trifera. Trifera is a nationwide provider of classroom technology, working with thousands of schools and districts every year to outfit classrooms with modern learning tools. But they don't stop there. Trifera is committed to helping schools meaningfully integrate new tech in the classroom, and they do so with custom professional development and ready-made lesson plans written by teachers for teachers. Head to trifera.com/classtechtips for a chance to get some free tech for your classroom and see how Trifera can help your school transform the learning experience through technology. Today's episode is titled Google Workspace Administrator and Teacher Tips, a bonus episode with Trifera. And if you are using Google tools this year or simply curious about what's new in ed tech, then this episode is for you. As you'll hear in our conversation, I've had the chance to work with Josh and the Trifera team this past year for virtual and in-person events. Their team has a wealth of knowledge to share around education technology, and I know you're going to love this conversation. Let's dive in, and don't forget, I'll add plenty of links to extra resources in the show notes for this episode. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat today, but before we jump in, can you share a bit about your role and background in the space?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Monica. My name is Josh Ratliff, and I'm a teacher by trade. I started here in the school district where I live now, teaching algebra and geometry before getting into more of the administrative side, and actually spent most of my career at the State Department coordinating our statewide technology efforts and some school improvement efforts. And now I'm a director of education initiatives for Trifera.
Awesome. Well, I'm just pumped that you have such a diverse background in terms of your education experiences to tackle this topic of Google Workspace today, since I know there's listeners who wear different hats or whose roles might be evolving. So I'm sure there's things that you'll be able to point out to us that just help everyone wrap their head around this topic we're exploring of Google Workspace. So can you help unpack this term for us? What exactly is Google Workspace, and how is it similar or different to the ways schools have used Google in the past?
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for getting us started that way. So essentially, Google Workspace is a new rebranding of what we all remember G Suite for Education. And so with G Suite for Education, it was kind of one nice thing about it was everyone was all on the same platform. We all had the same experience. But the downside of that was a lot of us were needing additional features or needing to go someplace else to buy products that would do certain things. And so at Google, what they've done is they've given us the G Suite for Education rebranded as Google Fundamentals in the Workspace, and then given us three additional paid or premium additions that we can buy if we want to stay inside the Google environment and do everything inside of Google and not have to go out and buy third-party products. We can do that with these three additional paid additions if we choose to do it that way.
Nice. So it sounds like, you know, and I know you and I have talked about it. We did a lunch and learn kind of video webinar. I never know. There's all the terms, right, for these virtual things. And I'll link out to that too for listeners if they want to watch that. But I know when we had talked about it last spring, right, we were thinking about some of the ways that there were similarities and differences and, you know, a lot of things that people might be familiar with. Like it is early in the day as we're recording this today. And I've already probably been in 4 different Google Docs, let alone my Gmail on my computer and my phone, right? So, right, a lot of these things are just ubiquitous and part of all of our routine. So, you know, especially when that is true, right? Something that we spend a lot of time in, anytime we see a popular product or platform change its name or design, right? A new button pops up we haven't seen before, right? We worry that we're missing something or we won't be able to find our favorite thing. Is this the case within Google Workspace? How is it or isn't it, you know, changing teachers and students' everyday experiences?
Oh, yeah. So I think we've all been in situations where we've had products that we absolutely love, and then they go through rebranding, and now suddenly we're going to have to pay for the features.
Yeah.
And so the good news is here, it's not going to be the case. If you were very happy with what you had in G Suite for Education, you were automatically transitioned over to what is now called Workspace Fundamentals, and you're going to have a very similar experience in Fundamentals. Like I was mentioning before, though, if your school district is in a situation where they were going out and buying, you know, other products, now we can upgrade into one of 3 different licenses. So the first one that a lot of people talk about is something that Google's calling Education Standard. And that one is designed for the IT professionals in our world. You know, it's got a lot of additional security features, a lot of different features for application management and device management and that kind of thing. And then my favorite license is the second one, and it's called the Teaching and Learning Upgrade. Mm-hmm. And just the teacher in me really glows when I see that one because it has all of the classroom features that people like you and I really love, like additional features within Google Meet and some originality reports and practice sets. Of course, we'll talk more about that maybe a little bit later on, but there's lots of really rich teaching and learning experiences. And then if you find yourself in a situation where you like the education standard, the IT professionalism on that side, but then you also want the teaching and learning features too, you can combine both of those in what Google's calling Education Plus.
Okay.
So it's really easy to memorize for me because it's 3 different paid or premium editions, but really it's just those two. And then if you combine them, you get Education Plus. Yeah.
Nice. And I appreciate you kind of breaking down for us who might be more interested, right?
Yeah.
Given your day-to-day piece. And, you know, there are listeners here who might make recommendations for someone in their building to check something out or just want to kind of know, you know, all the things that are out there. So knowing that there is that combination for people to take on, that there's something, you know, for people who are wearing maybe their classroom or teacher or instructional design hat to, I think that's an important piece to come back to, especially for educators who've spent a lot of time in classroom, right, in Google Classroom the past few years, who maybe tried out Google Meet for the first time because of the emergency shift to remote learning, but now might bring it into other things that they're doing, even if they're not teaching students virtually, it might be part of conferencing, right? So I think it's just great to have that understanding of what is out there for everyone. So do you have any tips that you would say are truly must-try tips for anyone who's using Google Workspace this year?
Yeah, so there are a lot. And if I had all the time in the world, I would just start running down a list. For the sake of time, I'm going to give you 2 of my favorites. So the first one I'll mention is from the Teaching and Learning Upgrade. Actually, it's available even in Fundamentals at a limited capacity, but it's called Originality Reports.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Originality Reports is it helps students make sure that they have cited all of their work, and the students are allowed to check their submissions for originality before they turn it into their teacher. So it's not designed to be like a gotcha, you know, with plagiarism. Yeah. The students are going to have the ability to check originality even before they submit it. And the cool thing is, It's checking for originality across the internet and also internally within the school. So if you have teacher A and I have teacher B, you know, historically, if you and I turned in the same exact work, teacher A and teacher B may have never even noticed that, you know, unless they have a common planning or something, it's very unlikely that that's going to be detected. In originality reports, even though you're submitting to one teacher and I'm submitting to another, it's going to check for originality within that domain, which I think is really, really wonderful. And the second one is brand new. It's available only in beta right now, but you can go online and you can check it out. It's called Practice Sets. And this one is probably my favorite because I've always thought that really masterful, very skilled teachers get in the practice of watching their students do cognitive processing. So we're watching for body language. We're watching their eye movements. We're listening closely to what they're saying, trying to find those places where some of that mental processing might be breaking down, right? So we can go in and correct that, right? So Practice Sets does kind of the AI version of that, which is really smart. So if I'm the teacher and I develop a practice set and you're the student, it's going to watch your work and it's going to find places where you're making those very common mistakes, right? So if I say, you know, 8 + -3 and you write 11, well, we know where that process broke down, right? So then it's going to look for instructional videos that's going to course correct that and say, hey, look, you might have missed your negative. And so it's going to serve up instructional resources that's going to help you specifically with the problems that you're facing. And I think that is just absolutely amazing that we have software that's able to do that kind of thing now.
Yeah. And I'm so glad you chose these two. And I want to come back to Practice Sets and just that AI component in a moment. But coming back to that originality reports, I really appreciated what you said about, you know, it's not about the plagiarism piece, right? Or, you know, that piece where we're coming at you or the gotcha piece, but really about student ownership. You know, I know going through master's and doctoral programs, anything I submitted to Blackboard, right, would tell me right away, you know, what the percentage matching was of kind of all the things, right? And so for me, it was a way to say, okay, did I paraphrase this correctly? Did I make sure I added the citation when I'm submitting something kind of late after a week of a busy teaching week or whatever it is, right? Did I forget to put in that citation? So I think there's that ownership component for students and building that muscle. And, you know, we talk a lot about digital citizenship and what that looks like and what it means to teach it. So I really love that this piece has it, you know, embedded right within it. So, you know, with those originality reports, you also mentioned the domain connection and how it's going kind of across different domains and helping teachers kind of, you know, everyone's on the same page. So I wonder, you know, are you seeing people use the originality reports yet? Is it kind of too new to have some stories around, or is there anything that you've seen just yet within these?
Oh, yeah. No, these have been out long enough that they're starting to take hold. And the cool thing is you do not have to pay for an upgraded or premium license to experience these. Even in the free version, you're going to get 5 originality reports just to see what they're all about. And yeah, we totally have use cases for these already. And I think sometimes the misconception is this is only going to be a feature that's used in English language arts. Mm-hmm. And I would encourage every educator to give it a try because, you know, if we're doing lab reports or even for me as a math teacher, you know, I have use cases for this too. And so, yeah, I think that this is already catching hold. Unlike Practice Sets, which is still in beta, originality reports is really starting to take hold. And I feel like Practice Sets will too as it's released into the wild.
Nice. Yeah. And I'm so glad you mentioned that cross-curricular connection because you're absolutely right. You know, we think about originality reports, we think about writing and how that happens a lot in one part of the day, but it's not only in that part of the day. So whether it's those extended responses someone might post in a math classroom, right? Or something someone might write in a social studies classroom or a science lab report, like there's just so many times where we're asking kids to write and share in short and long form. So I'm glad to hear that that's something you've seen the educators you work with using, adopting, kind of bringing into their work. So back to those practice sets that you said are in beta right now that are just kind of launching, this idea of pausing, getting actionable information. The formative assessment connection here is really huge because, you know, we don't want to collect all the work and then have a conversation with kids 5 days later when it's not really fresh of mind for anyone anymore. So I'm curious, with these practice sets, are there any maybe predictions you have for places or content areas where they'll be really popular, or anything that you've seen so far, even though it's pretty new?
Yeah. So, yes. So I started out in music school, and my teachers, you know, you've all heard the common saying, practice makes perfect. And so when I went to music school, my music teachers would always tell me that's not necessarily true. Perfect practice makes perfect. Mm-hmm. Sloppy practice makes sloppy work, you know? And so I learned that then, and I've carried that with me throughout my professional career too. And so with practice sets, especially as a math teacher, it was so easy for those misconceptions to be kind of ironed in and just repeated. And so those common mistakes, you could almost see a student kind of lock in those very common mistakes. And now to unpack that, we really have to chip away at some of those bad habits.
Yeah.
And so the thing that I love about practice sets is we don't have to wait until, I'm doing air quotes now, but we don't have to wait till the test.
Yeah.
To determine that we've got a problem with the way students are processing some kinds of information. We can catch that early on and then correct it early on, so that perfect practice will make perfect over time.
Yeah, such a great reminder too, because, you know, when we talk about assessment and we talk about Google-y, all the things Google, a lot of times it falls into Google Forms, right? Let's do a quick quiz, right? And you can get creative with Google Forms. So I love some of the add-ons. So by no means, I was talking about Google Forms this morning and it is early in the day already, right? It came up in a conversation with another educator. So love Google Forms, but the idea of getting responses that might be a little deeper, right? That you might use in certain moments where a multiple choice or an open-ended response is not going to give you the full picture. I just love that piece here when it comes to making sure that, the information we're gathering from kids is things that we can actually use, right? Is going to give us some high quality information. So I love those two must try tips that you shared, focusing in, trying out those originality reports, including across the content areas, and then thinking about practice sets as a way to get really a deeper picture, I guess, right, of what students need. So, we've spent some time together before, at different events this past year, now that things have been face-to-face, right? And Trefair has been so kind to purchase and give away copies of my book. And I spent time with you all at your booth at FETC too. So tell us, what exactly does Trefair do? And can you share a little bit about what you offer educators?
Yeah, so Trefair is an educational technology company. And we got our start with selling educational devices. So anything that you find in schools, laptops, desktops, interactive boards, those kinds of things. We sell all of that. And then we also provide warranties. So that's kind of like our core business. That's where we got started. What I do is a little different there, because we have this belief that says you can invest in all the stuff in the world. You can have all kinds of really great stuff. And if you don't also invest in your people, you're not going to get that instructional shift that we're desiring, right? So having all the technology in the world is great. We need it. It's part of our educational systems. But we also have to develop that human capacity to make that instructional shift. And so my work at Trefair is directing all of our educational programming. So we do a lot of professional learning with everything that we sell. We also want to, impact that educator so that they are fully equipped to use all of that technology to create that instructional shift. And then we also have a curriculum that is specifically designed to exemplify the technology that we sell. So if someone says, give me a really great example of how to use this Chromebook, that's what our curriculum set is designed to do. And of course, it's completely free to our customers. You can log in there and you can browse the curriculum by standards or by tech tools. Maybe you're new to Edpuzzle. There's a search box up there. You can just type in Edpuzzle And it'll show you all of the lessons that we have. And the cool thing is we write these lessons in-house. Our education team writes these. So we're not crowdsourcing, although I'm not opposed to that at all. But these are developed in-house. Mm-hmm. So we know we have a quality control on everything that we develop.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I think that, you know, the level of just the vetted recommendations and the resources and all the things that you have to offer, I know what grabbed my attention when we all first connected was just the emphasis on the professional learning piece, right? Of course, you need the devices and the hardware and the software to make things happen, but just really anchoring it in making sure everyone has high quality resources and information, you know, to put all those pieces into action. And, you know, today as we talked about the Google Workspace connection, are there any kind of specific things that you all are doing around Google Workspace that you just want people to know about too?
Yeah, well, one thing that we know for sure is that the certification means a lot. So if someone is going to take the time and the discipline that it takes to work to level one, level two certification, that's going to make that person the kind of the gold star in the school. So every time, you know, there's a problem or a situation or some advice that's needed, you have someone inside your school that you can go to. So we've been championing that idea for a long time and trying to make sure that we're offering that anytime that we're selling devices, that we're saying, hey, do you want some certifications in your school? And we can help provide that. So that's kind of my go-to on that one.
Awesome. Well, where can listeners connect with you? Before we finish up, I want to make sure everyone knows where they can stay connected, where they can learn more about your work.
Yeah, so all of Trefera, our social accounts are Trefera Official. So that one's really easy. And if anyone wants to connect with me directly, it's on LinkedIn is probably the best place to catch me. It's just, you can just search for Josh Ratliff on LinkedIn. And then I'm also on Twitter, which I'm sad to say, like, I'm new to Twitter. I'm not really, but I'm really starting to find, for me, it's starting to click, you know, that it has its value. And so if you want to give me a try on Twitter, it's jratliffedu on Twitter.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Josh, for your time today, for sharing all of these great tips on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, Monica.
It was so much fun chatting with Josh about Google Workspace. And if you have any lingering questions or wonderings, just send me a message on Twitter, Instagram, or via email, and I'll make sure to get you some answers. So let's make this EdTech easy with some key points from the episode. Google Workspace still gives you access to everything you love. There are now extra features your school or district might want to explore. Originality reports can help students take ownership of their writing, and practice sets are a new way to check for understanding. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode on classtechtips.com/podcast, including all of the ways to connect with the team at Trefera. A big thanks to Trefera, who sponsored this episode. Don't forget to head to trefera.com/classtechtips to enter to win some free tech for your classroom and learn how Trefera can partner with your school to enrich teaching and learning with technology. That's Trefera, trefera.com/classtechtips for more. If you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow along with the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you have a moment and are feeling extra helpful today, please leave a rating or review for the podcast. It seems like a small thing, but it does make a big difference in helping other educators find this podcast when they're searching for topics like EdTech in their podcast app. Have a great week and check back on Tuesday morning for this week's new episode.